From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm your guest host, Scott Pukas. Our connection this hour was made in 1996. The blockbuster movie Twister took the nation by storm. The Bill Paxton, Helen Hunt, and Philip Seymour Hoffman film was a box office sensation, featuring thrilling action, intense depiction of very bad weather, and famously, flying cows. 28 years later, Twister has remained a crowd-pleasing bit of fun. But have you ever watched Twister with a meteorologist? I have. I watched it with my friend Matt Jones, a meteorologist and former storm chaser, and he guffawed and gasped at what he was seeing on the screen. With the legacy sequel Twisters dropping this summer, starring Glenn Powell and Daisy Edgar-Jones, the Tornado film franchise is back for another round of destruction and popcorn action. The set pieces in both movies are thrilling, but are they accurate? Was scientific accuracy sacrificed for some good old-fashioned storm-chasing fun? We're diving into Twisters for answers this hour. I'd like to welcome our guest, Josh Nichols, WXXI staff meteorologist and 7 News meteorologist in Buffalo. Welcome, Josh.
Thank you. Good to be here.
I hear you're running on little sleep here.
Well, you know, the hours of a TV meteorologist and radio meteorologist, I've been up since 1 o'clock this morning, so if I nap in the middle of the show, you'll know why.
Please, listeners, send Josh some coffee. We're also joined by Jackie McGriff, film fan and former meteorologist turned filmmaker. Welcome, Jackie.
Happy to be here.
And finally, we're joined by Adam Lubito, programmer and projectionist for the Little Theater and Anomaly, Rochester's Genre Film Festival. Hi, Adam.
Thanks for having me.
Yep. So, Josh, I'm going to start with you. We're just going to get right into it.
Yeah.
What are your overall thoughts on Twister? Is this not even close to being accurate, or does it matter?
Well, it's interesting. You know, you watch the first one, and what you see is, you know, this was almost 30 years ago, but a lot of the technology that we're using today in the field, like, for example, the Doppler on wheels, which is still a huge part of doing, you know, on-the-ground tornado research, it still applies. So, you know, there were some things that certainly, you know, were artistic license. Like, for example, when one of the characters looks up into what looks like the eye of a storm and sees everything kind of circling around, that's more of something you'd find in a hurricane versus a thunderstorm, but it looked good. So, you know, there was some artistic license, I think, taken with that. You know, I haven't seen the new one yet, but, you know, I rewatched the old one, and I couldn't believe how, you know, a lot of the technology that they were showing is actually still something that we use on a regular basis in tornado research.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if you're familiar with this, but Dorothy in the movie, I believe, was based on a real thing, Toto.
Yes, that is correct. Yes. And, you know, it's, you know, the Doppler on wheels really is so instrumental. What I find interesting is, you know, we're getting into an age, well, first of all, when the first one was made, there was, you know, there was no social media. We had no YouTube influencers. You know, it was a whole other ball game, so to speak. So I think, from my understanding, the new Twister movie kind of incorporates some of those social media influencers. And, you know, here we are in the 2020s versus the 1990s. But yeah, the Doppler on wheels, the Dow, you know, used by, I think the University of Oklahoma first started that. Still, you know, now we're using other new technologies in conjunction with that to do more groundbreaking research on how tornadoes develop, because there's still so much we don't know. And so there is a mystique about about tornadoes. Even, you know, severe weather meteorologists still don't know everything about tornado development.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so, Jackie, what is your history with the movie Twisters? Can you tell us a little bit about how this movie inspired your younger self?
Yeah. So I remember, I think I might have been like 6. I was real young and was watching this movie, and I was like, that's what I want to do. Like, for the rest of my life, I just want to chase storms, want to chase tornadoes. Like, I was like the little girl, like, in the film. Like, I'm like, this looks amazing. What are these things? Like, how do I study them? You know, what do I need to become in order to do this? And I constantly going back and forth whether or not I should have been worried about myself as a 6-year-old, like looking at Twisters and going, yeah, I want to chase those for the rest of my life. And I still to this day, I'm just like, what was I going on? But then, of course, we had a tornado recently touched down somewhere in Batavia, and I'm on like apps, I'm on like Weather Underground, and I'm checking like the forecast discussion. I'm like, okay, what's going on, right? And so that's really what, like, watching this movie like really inspired me going to college. So I do have a bachelor's degree from Florida Tech in meteorology. Am I using it now? No, because I did have to go through, and I don't know how much people realize, like, it's like an intense, like I was talking to Josh earlier, like it's an intense like 4 years of calculus and physics, and you're learning, you have meteorology classes, you have you're learning climatology, you're learning oceanography, like all of these different you're taking all of these different like rigorous courses, you know, to really study this this science. And so, like, I of course got out of college, and, you know, was going to go, you know, become like a weather forecaster, but I still wanted to, you know, be out there in the field and everything. And I'm looking at grad schools and stuff, and it's just, yeah, it was like too much. And I figured, I was just like, because I didn't graduate like the top of my class, and I don't know, I think I just was like, I do love weather. I still obsess over it. Like I said, like, I'm like, I would have gotten into, if someone still wants to go storm chase, I will happily get in the car with you. At the same time, I'm like, you know what? I think I love films more. So I'm going to go into that. But yeah, it is extremely fascinating. And these, I mean, tornadoes are, like Josh, you were saying, like, they're so unpredictable. There's still so much that scientists don't know. And I think that's part of the reason why it fascinates so many people.
And to Jackie's point, by the way, I'm marking 25 years as a meteorologist this month.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. But still, fresh in my mind, if I see a piece of paper with an equation from thermodynamics or dynamics, I start to have PTSD type reactions. Like, start shaking. Yes. And it's still, because it was so intense, as she was saying. And but that's the rigor of the science. And so I think it's, you know, it's still kind of neat, is the only word I can come up with, that we still have this fascination with, you know, the atmosphere and its power and what it can do, just, you know, within seconds, that something can just be completely wiped out. I mean, we just had, you know, a huge tornado outbreak in New York, the likes of which we had not seen in years. We've been keeping records on tornadoes since 1950. And according to my research, you know, we've had 22 total tornadoes in New York State for 2024. That's the highest amount that we've seen in decades. So, you know, what we just experienced, I really hope they don't make a movie called Blizzards.
Oh, God.
Because, you know, then we're going to be, you know, setting, you know, some kind of, if you're superstitious, I mean, that would be my funny take on that. But in all seriousness, you know, we've seen some big tornado damage here in New York State this year, the likes of which we just have not seen.
So you said 22. What's a comparable figure? Like, what was it last year? Is this like far and away more?
Or? Well, 20 of those happened in July, and the average per year is 9.
Mm. Okay.
So but this is, you know, this is something that we're not, you know, accustomed to seeing in such volume, but they do happen. And, you know, every state in the union actually is subject to at least one tornado per year. But the count that we have right now for this year, I mean, I believe, if I was looking correctly, many states in the South did not see as many tornadoes in July as New York did. So that's, so that, you know, it's, again, I just hope they don't make a movie called Blizzards.
you put it into the atmosphere now. It's gonna happen.
Yeah.
So Adam, we actually have you on to quiz you about the science. No, I'm kidding.
Okay.
So you pointed out recently one of my favorite bits, which is the MPAA rating for the original Twister. Can you share that with us, please?
As you mentioned in your intro, it was rated PG-13 for its intense depiction of very bad weather, which is just an incredible way to put that and reasoning. And it has always stuck with me ever since I had the VHS copy in my hand reading that. So, yeah.
Such a classic VHS. So as a movie fan, and, I obviously watched it with no background of the science. Did this matter to you? Were you like, oh, that seems inaccurate? Or were you just there for the ride?
I may have had kind of a dawning or like a back of the mind thought, like, this is probably not realistic, but it's still, I feel like, one of those quintessential, like, 90s blockbusters to me. Like, Twister is, you know, fun and exciting, kind of dumb, but it's got some great performances, wonderful actors who you love watching. I mean, it really doesn't get better than Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt and, you know, fun supporting cast of Philip Seymour Hoffman and, you know, Todd Field, who went on to direct Tar. So yeah, it's more stuck with me for that reason. Like, it's one of those fond memories of, you know, going to the theater in the summer and seeing something silly and exciting on screen. Mm-hmm.
I rewatched last night, and I think there's a Philip Seymour Hoffman line in there, and I was telling Jackie before the show that only he could pull off. He says something about, it's the suck jet zone, which is such
that's not a scientific term.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I mean, who knows?
Technically, what he's talking, and I'm using that loosely, it's like he's talking about the Fujita scale. So, like, the way in which they rate, like, tornadoes, you know, given the severity and everything. But, like, the way in which it's talked, because they do allude to that, like, later on in the original film, like, Helen Hunt's character starts talking about that. And so there is that, but, like, what he's referring to, again, loosely, is the Vegeta scale. But yeah, the fact that he's saying the suck zone, I'm just like, I can't. It's always hilarious every time.
He nails the delivery. So I was watching and I was trying to figure out what the biggest inaccuracies were. And the thing that stands out, and they make reference of this in Twisters, the Legacy sequel, is they hide under a bridge at some point, which is not good.
That's a big no-no.
Which is not good advice.
A really big no-no.
So in the new film, they do references. They start to at one point. They're like, let's hide under this underpass. And then some character's like, no, that's the worst place to go. So I think they course corrected. Josh, can you elaborate a little on why this is such a horrible idea to do?
Well, I mean, it's for the same reason that when you're walking in downtown Rochester in between a couple of buildings on a breezy day that it feels a little bit more windy because you're using something called the Bernoulli effect, where the wind, the air will accelerate as it moves into a narrower space. So, you know, underpass, bad idea, you know, because that's a shorter area versus, you know, just open road, you know, in terms of height. And so that wind will just accelerate. I think I forgot what the not double, but it's a percentage.
Yeah,
it's a percentage of some kind. So you're just more apt to subjecting yourself to damage by flying debris, a flying cow, but certainly flying debris.
Hold that thought in the flying cow. We're going to get to that in one moment. Jackie, do you think showing this in the first movie, would that cause any damage? Like, would people actually think to do that? Or do you think most people would understand that this is a movie, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think nowadays, I think people are more likely to honestly Google it. I'm like, okay, what should I do, right? Like, in the case of a tornado, so you see, especially if you have never experienced a tornado before, like my first instinct would have been, you know, if I didn't already know, it's probably be like, okay, where are the best places to go, you know, when a tornado is touching down and everything. I think it's some of that, but I also do think that if you are telling a story and it's, you know, has a lot of science in it, right? Like, there is some semblance of responsibility. I think most people, you know, when they go to the film, I think they figure, you know, there's going to be a lot of inaccuracy, right? It's just a film. And at the same time, though, if you have the opportunity to teach someone about, you know, your specific field, I think you should try to be as accurate as possible. So I don't know how much harm that it does, but again, you know, having that responsibility, especially as a filmmaker, definitely considering, you know, putting accuracy in there, right? It's a chance not only to entertain, but also, like, teach people.
Okay. Yeah, in 1996, when I started at London State College, we had a class of something like 50 meteorology majors, and then there was a large amount of attrition. But a large part of the reason that there were so many meteorology majors was Twister, because it was such, you know, a groundbreaking movie for, you know, budding meteorologists. And you know, you said that it influenced you
as well.
Yeah. So, and now today, you know, in the age of social media and the age of YouTube influencers, anybody at any time, at almost virtually any age, can go onto YouTube and can see, you know, dozens, if not hundreds, of storm chasers that are putting out their, you know, their clips of their chases.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's there's a mystique about Twister from the 90s because we didn't have YouTube back then. We just didn't have all of those clips. So anyway, it gets the brain going. It gets the, you know, gets the juices going, so to speak. And, you know, but it's great now today that we have those storm chasers that are putting out those clips on YouTube because there are so many children that are afraid of severe weather, you know, tornadoes, thunderstorms, lightning. Hail. I mean, now they can provide sort of like an education about severe weather, as you know, people in broadcast do try to, you know, not just, you know, entertain, but also inform and educate. And there's that whole platform on YouTube with all of these people that can do that. And that I think is important to mention.
Yeah, there's also a different kind of education too. What not to do. And there's plenty of that. I mean, I will go down a rabbit hole sometimes on TikTok, as I do. And there's all these videos of like tornadoes coming and people filming it and it being like right there. And this is about the time where you're trying to seek safety. And there's people still there just like filming this one woman. And whew, thank God she's like, okay. But like she at some point, you see like the phone, like it's, you know, it's going all over the place because she ends up getting like pulled like from where she's, you know, where she is. And so I'm like, you're like, oh my gosh, like this is something, first of all, this is not something that you should be doing. You should be getting to safety, right? It's obviously dangerous. And at the same time, it's also like, okay, so this is an example of what not to do here. Yes, please go follow someone who's in the field who can give you like a storm chaser who can give you all those tips and tricks, you know, for when you find yourself in like really dangerous situations like that.
And one scene that comes back to me, because I just watched it the other night, just, you know, probably like a few of us did, was, you know, I think they had like sort of a competing storm chaser, the one that ended up getting, you know.
Spoiler alert here.
Yeah. Well, I'm just joking. Oh, yeah, right. But anyways, bottom line, big no-no there, did something called core punching. And so core punching a tornadic thunderstorm is huge no-no because you're putting yourself in the path of the storm in and of itself. It's so dangerous. So real storm chasers, they know not to core punch. They know to go kind of like around the storm. But, you know, because tornadoes are so unpredictable in their path and it can change in a millisecond, you know, even that is, you know, putting yourself in a dangerous position. I was actually telling Gene here in the studio, I said, I would much rather go fly into a hurricane than chase a tornado any day. Because at least with a hurricane, you know, it's moving steadily 5 to 10 knots, you know, it's same circulation, you know, things just kind of moving along. Yeah. Whereas a tornado is just going to go erratic all over the place within, you know, a matter of seconds.
So when Jackie does her storm chasing documentary, then you won't be joining along.
Absolutely not.
No. I'll be sitting back with a cocktail watching. Okay.
So I want to go back to something you said before, and we're going to have a clip of this in a moment, of how it inspired meteorologists. Because on the rewatch, I did not realize that they're a little disparaging toward meteorologists. And they at one point, they call Bill Paxton's character weatherman, and like, you're just a weatherman. So we're going to hear that clip in a moment. For those just joining us, we're talking about Twisters this hour. My guest, Josh Nichols, WXXI staff meteorologist, 7 News meteorologist in Buffalo, Jackie McGriff, film fan and former meteorologist turned filmmaker, and Adam Lubitow, programmer projectionist at the Little Theater and programmer for the Anomaly Rochester's Genre Film Festival. So again, this clip right here is going to be them talking about Bill Paxton's character and calling him a weatherman. Let's take a listen.
I'm Joe Harding.
Oh, hello. Nice to meet you.
Bill just told me the happy news.
Which?
Us, marriage. Joe, Melissa.
It's happy news.
I guess it probably seems kind of sudden.
Seems sudden?
Dude, you taking the vows? That's sweet.
Well, we just wanted to get it done before Billy started his new job.
That's right. Weatherman.
What?
What?
Oh, say it.
I said weatherman. I think it's great.
Oh, you had that tone.
There was no tone. If you have a problem being a weatherman.
I don't have a problem being a weatherman.
I love this movie so much. So what did you, Josh, you said this inspired a lot of meteorologists. Did people like you growing up and being in college, did you just not mind like these remarks or did it not matter?
Well, we had different tracks at Lenin State College where I went to study meteorology. And, you know, there was the private industry track, which was basically you go, you know, work for a meteorology firm, you know, like maybe study forensic meteorology, perform, you know, court case type meteorology, forecast the weather on a private industry basis, like an AccuWeather or something like that. And then you had the academic route, which was, you know, you're going to go pursue a master's degree, pursue a doctorate degree, and you're going to do the research. And then there was the broadcast route. And so the people that were doing the academic research and going into the private industry said about the broadcast people that they just wanted to be on TV, be weather people, you know, like, but we're all studying the same thing. So it was like, I don't want to say infighting, might be a little heavy, but it was more like there was always just sort of like a little bit of
A little bit of tension.
Just a mild amount. And historically, that's why the American Meteorological Society issues a seal for television meteorologists that says that you are approved by the society, kind of like the American Medical Association, I suppose, for a doctor, which means that you're not just, you know, a face that's going to be on a screen, you know, that you actually studied the science and then you're going to deliver a report that's, you know, hopefully accurate, but has good science to it, versus a presenter. And that's how they came up with the seal, because there were a lot of people in the 1950s that were just, you look good. Let's throw you on TV and here, read this. And then they would also do, you know, ads for cigarettes and coffee, you know. And, you know, at one point, you know, are you going to believe a person who's, you know, selling coffee and cigarettes on TV and also say, tornado warning for severe thunderstorm warning, probably not.
Yeah. So, Adam, as someone watching this, were you ever inspired to be a meteorologist, or maybe this one line made you, you're
maybe,
out on that?
Maybe that had an effect on me that I was like, you know what? I don't want to be a weatherman. But no. It never made me want to go out and, you know, storm chase or get into meteorology. But it'll be interesting, I think, whether the new film Twisters will see an influx of people, you know, turning to meteorology, or as we kind of talked about, doing the, you know, storm chasing YouTube route, because the sort of this movie focuses on Glenn Powell's character. His whole team are just sort of amateur YouTube videos who
tornado wrangler.
Yes, thank you. I was trying to think of what they were actually their team name was called, but yeah, who just shoot videos for YouTube, and whether you know people will be inspired to start doing that. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, Glenn Powell. So I know you two said you haven't seen it, Jackie and Josh. But yeah, Glenn Powell, he has a cowboy hat. He's driving around listening to country music. He's like, I'm the tornado wrangler. And that's probably their version of the weatherman insult, because people make fun of him. They're like, oh, you're wrangling or tornado? Is that a thing you do?
But I thought they did a good job. I thought it was interesting that they also sort of, as the movie goes on, you find out that he actually knows things and knows the science behind what he's doing. It's not just yee-haw all the time.
Yes. Yeah.
But I think one of the best things about both of these movies is, and why in a weird way, tornadoes sort of lend themselves to sort of disaster movies, is there's sort of that blend of, you know, the awe, but also the terror and the fear. And putting that on screen, it just immediately, yeah, makes for great drama. And, you know, dropping characters within that context is kind of always going to be exciting and interesting to watch.
Mm-hmm. There, yeah, there's nothing more devastating than these movies where you see a character just get zipped up into mm-hmm. the tornado. You're like, oh, no. Mm-hmm. Even in the cold open of the original movie, that kind of yeah. sets the whole tone for the movie. And again, I won't spoil it and say exactly what happens, but I think, what you said, Adam, is just so intense, and it really, I think it's one to be watched in a movie theater on the big screen because you need that intensity. Mm-hmm. Jackie, so I'll go to you. Oh, sorry, Adam.
No, I was just going to say, one of the things I missed in this new one, I kind of loved the sound design of the first film where they, like, make the tornadoes roar and, like, lend them monster noises, mm-hmm. which I hadn't remembered until I rewatched it recently. I was like, oh yeah, they are literally like making these tornadoes roar like creatures. And they don't do that in the new one.
Now, I believe I heard that with the new movie, they actually used a jet engine to make that wind sound.
That makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. It's got that, yeah, more mechanical, less alive than, you know, the Twister. But I kind of miss that.
Yeah. So, Jackie, we'll go back to the weatherman remark. Did this have any impact on you?
I mean, there was a little bit of that, like what Josh was saying, was a little bit of that tension because, like, for a long time, was very much like, yeah, I want to be in front of a green screen. I want to talk about, what the weather's going to be like today, you know, moving throughout the week, right? And I had my whole, like, thing of setting up and talking about cold fronts and, like, all these other things. But I always had it in, like, the back of my mind. I was like, okay, I will, like, that's where I'll start. But then, you know, I'll go to grad school. I'll continue to study these things and, you know, go on to then, obviously, like, then do research, like Josh, what you were saying, you know, taking that more academic side. So that, as far as, though, like, again, that whole, like, tension, you know, between, you know, broadcast and then academia and everything, there was always a little bit of that, but it never really deterred me, right? It was always like, you know, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I have my heart set on doing. And then, of course, I get through 4 years of all the rigorous calculus and physics, and I was like, oh, maybe this isn't for me. So, yeah.
I always, you know, and I've always said, you know, if I really wanted to just be on TV or the radio, I would have just taken 4 or 5 years of acting classes and been at the gym 7 days a week, and, you know, and then I'd be in a different ball game, right? But then that would just make me an actor. But yeah. I really love the science.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, the science is a beautiful thing. And, you know, it is rigorous. It's not for everybody. But, you know, if you have a passion for science and you apply yourself, I mean, I tend to be bent more towards, actually, believe it or not, English and history and that kind of thing. So I had to really, you know, bury my nose in those books and study extra hard to get through 3 semesters of calculus, and thermodynamics, and physical meteorology. But then, you know, then you get to have fun with it. Once you're done, you get to have, you know, the fun part, mm-hmm. which is, you know, maybe the storm chasing or, you know, or the presenting, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay. Like I said, I'll still go. I'll still go chase a storm, right? And I will be the one, like, filming it, right? Because I'm a filmmaker. I'm like, okay, listen, I've got your tech and everything. Let's do this. And then, of course, within safety, because, again, that is the name of the game.
That is right.
All right. We're going to take a short break in a moment. But when we come back, we have to talk about the iconic scene from the original, the flying cow. We have a clip from it. I think, yeah, it's one of the it just sticks with me so much when I think about Twister. So we'll be back in a moment with more Connections. All right, we're back with more Connections. I'm your guest host, Scott Pukas. This hour, we are talking about Twisters, and the accuracy of these blockbuster movies. I'm joined by Josh Nichols, WXXI staff meteorologist, 7 News meteorologist, Jackie McGriff, film fan, former meteorologist, and Adam Louboutin from the Little Theater and Anomaly Rochester Genre Film Festival. So if anyone's just tuning in, before the break, we were talking about the iconic scene from Twister. It is the cow scene. So we have a clip. And we're going to listen to that right now.
Bill, we're in the core. got sisters.
Oh, my God. Yes? Julia, I can't talk to you right now.
We'll run into the flanking line.
I realize that.
You can't attack this thing from the south. We're going to get rolled.
Watch.
Julia, I know you're upset. You just got to breathe. We both just got to breathe. Cow. I gotta go, Julia. We got cows. Another cow.
Actually, I think that was the same one.
What an iconic scene. I wish we had both visuals for this show so people could see the cow and see our guest just laughing and having a good time with this. So, Jackie, you were laughing a lot. What is your take on the cow scene here?
Because it's so funny. Like, it's so... There's this intensity. She's like, okay, we're in the core, so they're in the path of the tornado, yeah. Right? It's obviously a very, very dangerous situation, very intense situation. And all of a sudden, there's just a cow that goes across the camera. And so you're just like, okay, whoever thought of this, brilliant. Because it's just, I just love that. It's like you have this intense moment, and then there's just really funny moment just happening. And the we got cows.
It's I was going to say, I feel like it's that kind of deadpan, we've got cows,
yes.
that really sells it.
Seriously.
What a line. So, Josh, we were talking a little before, and this is the big question. I'm sure everyone listening is wondering, is this accurate? Can we see flying cows from these tornadoes?
Well, you know, if you have a high-end, you know, F5, you know, or something along the, you know, just a massive tornado, anything can be pulled up into that violent updraft, you know, into the thunderstorm, as long as the speed of that updraft, of that rising air, is sufficient. So, for example, in some, you know, strong to severe thunderstorms in other parts of the world, you know, they've had things like, you know, like raining frogs. That's because the funnel has moved over a lake with frogs or fish, and then it just starts raining fish and frogs. Same thing with blood rain. You know, that's called blood rain. What it is just basically, you know, the updraft in an area where, you know, the soil is, you know, just allows for it to be red. I can't think of the chemical compound that does that, but in any case, it gets mixed up into the thunderstorm. Thunderstorm releases its rain, and voila, it's red. But then, of course, if you don't know that, then you come up with a term like blood rain, and, you know, everyone gets freaked out.
Yeah, obviously, they should. Adam, would you watch a movie called Blood Rain? I feel I would.
Absolutely. I was just thinking, I can't believe neither of these movies used blood rain, because I feel like that's way better than Suck Zone.
Yes.
Although, maybe one movie has a fire tornado, which is, that's pretty cool. Not quite as cool as Blood Rain, but we're close to that. So we actually have a caller here. Line one, we have Keith from Victor, who wants to talk about one of his experiences. Keith, can you hear us? Oh, we got it. We lost him. No Keith from Victor. All right. So, yeah, he wasn't going to talk about blood rain, I don't think. So that was part of it.
Well, it's interesting, you know, and you were in school in Florida, Jackie.
Yeah.
Now, I've only seen one funnel cloud in the 25 years that I've been doing meteorology. Mm-hmm. And it was actually at Linen State, of all places, Northeast Vermont, Linen State College, not like in Oklahoma or anything like that. But I've never seen an actual tornado on the ground. And here we are, you know, I'm forecasting them, you know, getting all these videos on social media, you know, the Eden tornado that just took place out towards Buffalo. Mm-hmm. And then we, of course, had the Batavia one, and then the Rome tornado as well. You know, it's interesting, you know, tornado stats go back only to 1950, but think about, you know, so we have roughly a 75-year climatology of tornado observations in New York State. Imagine if we had more phones with cameras in 1950, where you could just pull it out like we do now, and then there's the tornado. We probably would have had higher tornado counts, you know, versus today, where, you know, everybody has a camera in their pocket at any given moment. Whereas back in 1950 or 1960, go get the 16-millimeter, you know, camera. You know, oh, does it have film? You know, is it working? You know, and a totally different kind of thing. So, you know, we have, it's kind of like if a tree, if you didn't hear the tree fall in the forest or see it fall in the forest, did it fall?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so one of the new movie twisters, it touches a lot on climate change. There is a lot more tornadoes happening there, a lot more twisters. Even we've seen some recently. So is, you know, Josh, I'll go to you. Is this something that you're expecting to see more of? Should we continue to see more of this extreme weather?
Well, I think the harder question is how will climate change influence tornado occurrence?
Yeah.
I mean, climate change doesn't cause tornadoes. Thunderstorms do. Mm-hmm. Thunderstorms cause tornadoes. Yeah. So the question is, you know, we have to kind of figure out, you know, the global scale of climate change and how we can then correlate that with something as short fused on the scale of seconds and minutes with a tornado. Because climate changes over, you know, years, decades, millennia. You know, tornadoes change in a matter of a second. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be the interesting part, is trying to correlate how climate models are forecasting climate change and how we can apply what we understand about the ingredients that make severe thunderstorms, moisture, instability, shear, how these things that happen on such a finer scale kind of fit into the global scheme of things. And that's going to take a lot of research. And, you know, the best meteorologists in the world and in the country at the Storm Prediction Center out in Oklahoma, I believe, you know, they still, you know, we're still gathering the physical understanding of how tornadoes actually, you know, drop. How one thunderstorm that's so strong or severe doesn't drop a tornado, and yet that same one that might be next to it does. So there's I think there are more questions than answers, and you know, it's a lot more complicated than just, well, there's more moisture, there's more heat, therefore there are more tornadoes.
Okay, yeah.
I do think it's worth noting that I don't think they ever say the words climate change in Twisters, which I've seen some people kind of knock the movie for, and so I thought it was interesting. As I was kind of preparing for the show, I was reading an interview with Lee Isaac Chung, the director, he got asked about, you know, why they chose not to directly say that. And so to Josh's point, he kind of said the same thing. Like, he was told by sort of the experts that there's not data showing that direct correlation, that climate change is making them worse or increasing the number of tornadoes we're seeing. So that's why he was like, you know what, we're not going to explicitly say climate change is causing these tornadoes. So I feel like, yeah, they sort of worked that in and kind of made it, you know, less that direct correlation, didn't draw that line.
Yeah, I think I appreciate that research toward it, too. It's such a intricate and complicated subject, as you were saying, Josh.
Yeah, and here we are with, 22 total tornadoes in New York State in 2024. 20 of which happened in July. So the answer is, or the question rather is, well, why? Mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, there's a lot of factors that we're still trying to kind of pinpoint here. But, you know, typically we see a tornado a lot of times with the remnants of a tropical system. We had that with Beryl here across New York. That Beryl was a huge part of that equation, I would argue. More heat, more humidity. We've had a lot more humidity this summer than what we've seen, in recent summers, I would argue, more days with higher humidity levels. And a stronger jet stream, some of that having to do with, El Nino and, you know, other larger atmospheric circulation. So certainly really good timing to release this this new version of Twister.
So I think we are going to try to take Keith from Victor's call again. We'll give this a shot. All right, Keith, you're on. Go ahead.
I'd like to see a movie done about hurricanes, only because you can predict them and you watch people's response, and they could change direction. And the other thing is, we were in Jamaica when Beryl hit. But fortunately, we're up in the northwest corner near Negril, and it veered a little southwest. So I'd say the category we had was maybe one or two, But it was interesting because of the geography at the resort we were at. The wind was really bad, took down a lot of trees. But you looked out into the water directly from the resort, and the water wasn't really, you know, wavy, but you looked out at the horizon, and that's all you saw were these huge white caps. So with a hurricane, from experience now, I think a lot depends on the geography as to where you are. The wind was something because we lost air conditioning because when the resort was built on our building, they put the condensers up on the roof, and they realized they did not install them to withstand the winds of a hurricane, so they had to take them all down. So our building didn't have air conditioning. And so we kept the front door and the back door open, and it sounded like a train blowing through our room with the wind being so bad. And again, it was probably at tops, maybe a category two. But it was an experience that I don't want to live through again.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in, Keith. Stay on the line here so you could listen in. Adam, has there been a movie on hurricanes before? I feel that was a good point, that there should be a hurricanes movie.
I was trying to think. There has to be.
I mean, there's Sharknado. So, does that count?
Okay. So, because I was just telling Josh this beforehand. So never ask, by the way, never ask a meteorology professor about the day after tomorrow. Don't do it.
Because
we
went,
a student, a classmate derailed the entire lesson because he was asking about the day after tomorrow. And then my professor, I think it was, shout out to Dr. Stephen Lazarus, was like, went into a 15 to 20 minute rant about how inaccurate like so many things are, because so in that movie, so you do see, I'm putting quotes here, hurricanes, but they're not typical hurricane, they're not typical hurricanes because hurricanes don't do that.
Didn't the satellite loop go in the wrong direction? I believe
there's so much, Josh. There's so much that's going on in there. See, we need a whole other show for that.
Yeah.
But that's the only one that I can think of that had, again, quoting here, hurricanes, because they weren't actually hurricane. They didn't behave like how hurricanes typically behave. So that's the only one though I can think of top of my head.
The only other one, too, I can think of is maybe the Galveston hurricane of 1900. I believe maybe there was a movie, but it was a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
About the weather forecaster for the U.S. Weather Bureau, who basically he was, I think, something like in his early 20s.
Yeah.
And he was considered sort of like, you know, new guy in the office in Galveston. And based on everything that he saw from ship reports and observations, he predicted the arrival of the hurricane. But the lead forecaster in the office of the U.S. Weather Bureau in Galveston said, no, that's not going to happen. He's like, you don't know anything. You're too young, you know, kind of thing. And there is a whole novel. I don't know if they made it into a movie, though.
I don't know. But I do remember, because didn't a similar thing happen with Katrina? Mm-hmm. Someone was predicting it, and they weren't believed by something. I'll have to do further research on that. But as far as a hurricane, I know that there's plenty of movies, you know, that are taking place during a hurricane, but for it to actually be like the topic, you know, of the movie, I can't think of any.
Yeah, the first thing I thought of was like Hurricane Heist, which is not about the hurricane.
Right.
But yeah, I had the same thought. Yeah. The hurricanes happen during a bunch of movies, but it's not really about them.
Yeah.
I'm adding Hurricane Heist to my letterbox queue right now. I need to watch that. Well, along those same lines, and I know a few of us have not seen Twisters, but both these movies were popular, so I don't think we can rule out seeing a third Twister movie. And if that's the case, is there anything that you would like to see? And I'll start with you, Adam. Is there anything that they didn't cover? Do you want to see the blood rain? Is that the answer?
I feel like, now I want to see the blood rain. Because, that sounds awesome to see in a disaster movie.
I'll go to you next, Josh. I think a lot of what the movies have done, and again, you haven't seen the new one, but they try to do ways. I think the crew, the characters in the movies are trying to solve a problem. They're trying to figure out how a tornado works, how you can warn people with more accuracy, like more time. So what would you like to see in a movie? Something along those lines?
I would like to see AI injected. Because I was actually reading some research from, I think, the MIT Research Lab in Boston, where they actually have archived tens of thousands of radar images over the last, like, 10 years, and they've put it into some AI sort of scheme and to assist meteorologists in the predicting of whether a tornado will drop from those thunderstorms. Because I said, you know, you could have a similar-looking thunderstorm, you know, one very close to the other. One drops a tornado, one does not. So how AI could – I mean, maybe we might be going into the science fiction realm a little bit here.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
But that's what – that's what film does, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we can do that. So maybe see some sort of artificial intelligence, you know, idea.
Oh, that is very interesting. I actually want to – I hope someone's listening from Hollywood now. Twister 3 AI. Jackie, is there anything you want to see from – what would they call it? Like Twisters times 3? I don't know. Triplets?
I have no idea. Twisters 3.0. I don't know. Oh, gosh. I'm actually – so I'm thinking about the Blood Rain idea, honestly. You could turn that into a horror film. This is making more sense to me by the second. Because, like, I mean, it is a very...
I get 10%, by the way.
Okay. That's fine. No, because you obviously will be the consultant on the film. I just keep thinking about how that is a very scary... First of all, you're putting two scary situations. Number one is the tornado itself. And then the second thing is, like, the effects, like what you were talking about, of how that happens and how you get blood rain. That in and of itself, like two very terrifying things, you're putting them together. Obviously, it needs to be a horror film. So somebody get on that. Hire Josh as your consultant. That, you know what? That'll be my first horror film. Never mind. Do not steal it.
And you have to inject ball lightning into there.
Yes. So.
Oh, I would love to hear hour on ball lightning. I'm so curious about it. I mean, can you give us a quick description for those who are listening and don't know what that is?
I believe it. I'm trying to think of which czar it was in Russia. I think it was Tsar Nikolai who... he was literally just in his living room, and ball lightning, just, you know, it's a floating ball of energy, went blasted right through his window and popped right in his living room. That's got to be just ridiculously scary.
He was okay, just, though?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he was fine. But that's, you know, one of the thunderstorm safety things that they tell you is, you know, get away from the windows, you know, because of the attraction of you know, the window to the lightning, because of the way that away a window is made. Mm-hmm. So now, you know, a bolt is scary enough, but lightning that just sort of shows up from out of nowhere.
That does sound science fiction.
I keep getting more ideas. So here's the thing. So with ball lightning, what you could do, because I'm thinking of the movie Stardust, and there's a weapon that's used in that film where it's just like this container, just like full of lightning. And at some point, right, he opens the container and it's used to like fight against his enemies. And I'm like, you could totally do something with ball lightning. Someone, if someone is able to, you know, obviously it's science fiction, but like you would be able to use that as like, yeah, a weapon. Like you're fighting, here we go. Oh, they've got ball lightning. Run. Like, yeah, like that. I think I'm just going to come up with ideas. We're going to make a separate podcast of just weather related movies. It'll be great.
I need to get up at 1 o'clock in the morning more often. Yeah. Drink a lot of coffee.
I am interested to talk about The Day After Tomorrow, too. I think that would be a very good hour. Which, speaking of, this hour has flown by.
Yeah.
But we'll go fairly quickly here with some final thoughts. And I think one thing that I'm curious about before we end the hour here is the appeal of these movies, even talking about our ball lightning movie, our blood rain movie, these weather movies, these disaster flicks, which I feel were a lot more popular in the 90s, but maybe making a comeback. You know, what is the appeal of this type of movie? I'll go to you first, Adam.
I just come back to the sort of perfect synthesis of something that is kind of beautiful and awe-inspiring and also, you know, completely terrifying and can destroy anything it touches. I feel like that immediately, you know, is mixed drama and is fascinating to watch.
Okay. Jackie, what is the appeal of Twisters and our future weather movies?
No, it is. I think it's going along the lines of, that mystery, that the fact that we don't really know everything about them, the fact that they are unpredictable. One of the things that it doesn't touch on, of course, in the original, right? Because at some point the tornado stops, and I'm like, that's not, the physics doesn't work like that. But the terrifying thing about tornadoes, other than, you know, them being tornadoes, is the fact that they also jump. And I think it's just that. It's just like, again, how unpredictable this thing is, or these weather phenomena are. I think that's part of the appeal, for sure.
Okay. What about you, Josh? What's the appeal here?
Well, I just go back to, you know, thinking about when I was teaching just an elementary sort of meteorology class. One of the analogies I would make is, think about this when you think about the atmosphere. Think about an apple and think about the thinness to the apple skin. The thinness of the apple skin, that thickness that's there, thickness, thinness, however you want to say, that's proportional to all of these things that happen on a powerful, awe-inspiring force in our atmosphere and our planet. Think about that, and that's pretty awe-inspiring.
That is great. This has been such a fun hour. We got to talk about tornadoes and weather so much more. Thank you to my guest, Josh Nichols, WXXI staff meteorologist and 7 News meteorologist in Buffalo, Jackie McGriff, film fan and former meteorologist turned filmmaker, and Adam Lubiteau of The Little Theater and Rochester and Anomaly, Rochester's Genre Film Festival. I got tornado brain here. Thank you so much. It's been a great hour.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more Connections in just a moment.